morning and welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Molly Kabler.
And I'm Kitty Labounty.
And wow, this is a great day to talk about gardening.
It's a great day to talk about it and look out the window and go, huh, wow, the wind is like blowing everything all over the place. But oh well, it's another nice day gardening in summer 2020.
Yeah, summer 2020, the garden season of interesting times. There's still actually a lot going on in the garden, and maybe we can start on a positive note, and we want to talk about what you could be doing. We leave out the shoulds these days on the garden front, but what you could be doing if you want to. But I think if you don't have much blooming in your garden and you like color, we would like to remind you of what to look around and identify and be ready to plant next year so that you do have late season color. For me, right now, one of the pick hits are the dahlias. And they're pretty sturdy plants, and so they seem to withstand the wind and rain a little bit better than some of the other things.
Yeah, I've been really impressed. I think I've waxed on about the dahlias I started from seed a few times this summer already, but I am super impressed. They're blooming right now. They withstood the last big gale we had. They're getting another one right now, and they still look good, and their flowers are huge. So I'm really impressed. And so you can actually buy a packet of seeds, you know, sometime next winter, start them up. I actually need to look at my calendar and double check when I started. I didn't start them super early, and they look great. I am super happy with them.
Right. So I have both dahlias that I bought the bulb, we'll just call it bulb for now, this year and started in a pot. And then I also have dahlias that I've wintered over a few times where I've grown the plant and then kept it in storage over the winter and restarted in the spring. And they are robust and they are really standing up to the weather and really full of, you know, just full of enjoyment about the dahlias at the moment. There's a couple other ones that aren't bad. The astrantias, the masterworts, still look great around town. They're not big and showy like the dahlias, but they're definitely a neat little plant. And then my snapdragons are looking good as well.
Yeah, so the other ones that are having big color in my yard are actually gladiolas, which are also proving to be tough as nails in this wind, which I would have not predicted. I've saved the corms over. I received a box of corms basically as a gift a few years ago, and I've been saving them over and planting them, and they are in full screaming orange, purple, and white glory right now. but again, I started snapdragons from seed. They're looking good. My astrantia is done, but my astilbe is still going. Yeah. I have ones that bloom at different times, and I have a set right now that's looking pretty sweet.
Yeah. So tell me what you do with your glads. How do you winter them over? Mine are just getting to the blooming point. They got started a little bit later.
So when my glads are done, when they're done blooming, when the leaves start cutting down or coming down, sometime in the next month, I'll dig those plants up and let them dry out completely. I'll cut down the fans, you know, that's what I refer to as those leaves, cut those down pretty close and make sure they're pretty well dry. I think our biggest enemy to keeping things like dahlias and gladiolas and begonias over is mold. You know, every once in a while you put them in the wrong place and they freeze, but I think our bigger deal is mold. And then all I did was I put them in a paper bag and I put them in a cool dark spot. When it started to get super cold, I moved that paper bag, you know, different places. Sometimes the paper bag was out actually on my covered porch in a bin. When it got super cold, I moved it into the mudroom, which is, you know, not as warm as the house, but warmer. And then they were ready. I took them out and planted them in April, actually in the greenhouse in pots, and then just moved them out to the garden when they got fully started. I mean, it was kind of a neglectful. I threw them all in one flat, threw some dirt over them and said, okay, please grow, you know, gave them some water. It was not exactly what I would call a careful nurturing, but they look good.
Yeah. I have not done a great job of overwintering the the glads yet, but I certainly overwinter other things, and I'm game to try again. I think finding the right spot in your home, shop, garage, porch or entryway, that's kind of the challenge, is finding that right spot. But I would encourage you to try again, and I'm going to try again. I managed to find, you know, how to do it with my fuchsias, how to do it with my dahlias, so I'm going to go for the glads.
Yeah, they are so beautiful. They're huge and they're tall. And right now, in this kind of gray sort of late summer we've been having, they are just a boost. Between those and the dahlias, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to, like, you know, fly to Arizona tomorrow. I can hang on. I love it. So they're really lending a lot. And I've planted a few things this year from seed that I thought have done super well in terms of flowers, and are giving me really nice blooms, some later than I expected it. But the snapdragons, like you mentioned, have been blooming for over a month, and they're still going super strong. And they're ones I grew from seed. They're super tall, but I learned a little bit more about pinching those back early on.
Nice. The other thing that I'm not growing, but I see around town and look really great, are the crocosmias. So mm-hmm. I've grown those in the past and not been impressed by them matching up with our climate all that well, but maybe it's my microclimate. But there's certainly some gorgeous crocosmia, and they're flame red late season. And so they're one you sort of plant from a bulb as well. So that's a plant to look for if you're looking for late season color.
And if you're not familiar with what those are, there is a great little garden right at the town side of the O'Connell Bridge that has it's a beautiful garden, by the way, so stop and look at it. And it's what should I say? It's between basically the ramp to the bridge and the parking lot, you know, by the Mean Queen and that. And it's a gorgeous garden with all sorts of nice plants in it, but they also have right now these flaming, beautiful crocosmias. So check them out if you don't know what they are. They're inspirational, actually.
And if you don't plant anything else and you want something bright, tough, edible, the nasturtiums are the way to go. There's lots of beautiful nasturtiums blooming all around town, and they take very little to really get started and going. And their seeds are big and easy to grow. Just remember, you got to start them past frost-free if you're going outside. But, nasturtiums are our friends.
Oh, for sure. I have a few different kinds. One is clambering all over the porch. It's kind of fun. It's climbing up the rain chain. It's moving through this little ornamental conifer I have. It's just spread all over the place and has these bright orange flowers. I haven't eaten them, but they certainly are edible. The deer could also agree with that. They think they're quite tasty when they can get to them. Fortunately, they've left me quite a few flowers.
Yeah, great. So one other plant that for me, I have in a shady spot, and it thrives in shade, but it does okay not in shade in Southeast Alaska. And so mine haven't even started blooming yet, but many are starting the chelonies. And they, if you need a plant to take up space, they're a beautiful plant, just the big green stalks. And then they make this funny little pink turtle head set of flowers. So it's called a chelone. And you don't see it everywhere, but here and there. And it's a good one, especially if you need a plant for a shady spot.
Right. Shady spot and late season. And they're kind of, the flowers are almost shaped like a snapdragon. They're more compact and big. They're really a nice plant. So I'd encourage people to look at those. There's still vegetables out there if folks are like going, okay, you guys just going to talk about flowers. Oh, but wait, now that I said that, I was going to mention one more flower that
Nigella.
Nigella is one. Actually, no, that means two. Shoot, I lost it. So Nigella is another one I started from seed. Looks gorgeous right now. Long, long wait before the blooms, but it's beautiful. But the other is a perennial. It's a gentian. And it is screaming deep blue right now and blooming quite happily. It seems to be okay with our climate. It blooms every year. I have it in two different spots. very happy. So that's a perennial plant that you can keep going for a deep. You want to talk about blue. It's like, yeah, the platonic ideal of blue is that plant's color.
All right. And it's a commercial. I mean, it's a garden variety, not our wild gentian.
Yes, it's wild somewhere,
right.
Or it was at some point, but I'm not recommending you go dig up our alpine gentians, no. Leave those where they are, and these are, I've gotten them in a few different places. I think one was definitely a gift, and I divided it, but they're super nice plants. They're worth figuring out how to acquire.
All right. So 747-5877 is the number if you'd like to call and chat on. We can talk about gardening and pretend like it's not inclement weather out there. There are lots of things to do in your garden. And although it feels today like maybe garden season is over, I really want to encourage you because it isn't. There's easily a few to several weeks of frost-free still happening. That means your root crops, like your carrots, are still pumping up. If you have green leaves on your potatoes, they are still pumping up. Broccoli may still be coming on, especially side shoots of broccoli. So, and then same with things like parsnips. Cabbages are possibly still coming on. So those are things. I have some chard that's still happening. So there's still room for quite a bit of growth and productivity in the season.
Oh, for sure. So my Brussels sprouts is another one that's doing super well right now. And I'm hoping I have them adequately protected from the four-legged marauders because they're developing really nice big sprouts on their stems. I built a big, my whole garden is a giant cage. And I have big hoops over it. And actually big hoops over the carrots as well, because that's another thing that the deer like to pull up. But what was interesting, and I wanted to mention this, was that I've had big space over my Brussels sprouts and my carrots, and I've had row cover over that. But what's been interesting is that because it's been so wet, that area under there just, it stays kind of overly moist, I think. So I've been having to, or feeling like I needed to, whenever it's really dry, is roll back that row cover and kind of let the breeze and drying air kind of flow through there a little bit to give things some air. And the other thing I've tried to be really careful about this year is when there's really dead and yellow leaves towards the bottom of the stem, I'm cleaning those out of the area. I'm increasing my sanitation is another way to think about that. I'm trying to remove anything that's going to like bring on mold or just, you know, encourage anything untoward. So I've spent more time doing that both in the greenhouse and in the garden beds because it's been so damp.
Yeah, molds are not your friends, and cleaning up anything that's going to trend toward mold. And if you see any of your, sometimes the zucchinis try molding on the one end, or the flowers kind of fall off and start molding, or start molding even before they fall off. If you can keep all that stuff cleaned up, you're really going to be ahead of the game. The other thing I think to remember is this is a time of year that, oddly enough, if you keep weeding, especially the things that are trying to go to seed and dump a load of seed into your beds, and before you even know it, they're going to be blooming again next spring. So it's a great time to keep weeding, especially the tiny, like little mustardy cress ones. And of course, our beloved buttercups, creeping buttercups are taking over everything. So if you can, you know, put on the rain gear and do battle, you're going to be way ahead next year.
Right. And I'd especially recommend doing that if you're not walking in your bed. If you have raised beds that you can lean over into, that's the way to go. You do not want to walk on the soil when it's this wet. But I'm going to circle back to the zucchini and emphasize something Molly said. I've found that in particular with the yellow zucchini that I grow, if I do not very closely monitor that blossom end as that fruit is developing, and I can end up with a rotten little yellow zucchini. So I've been almost uniformly with the yellow ones, removing that flower as soon as that fruit starts developing, because it does start looking kind of raunchy. I haven't had that issue as much with the green squash I grow, the Cavilli. They don't seem to have that same kind of tendency, but I do monitor that. The Cavilli's been super productive this summer, despite it being, you know, I don't know, not exactly summery summer. So I'd really recommend people try that one out if they're frustrated with trying to grow zucchini. And it's been undercover most of the time. And again, when it's dry, I kind of open it up to give it a little more air. But I think the yellow ones always frustrate me a little bit. I always have to pick those when they're little because they start to rot on me. Maybe I just need a bigger space with more air movement in there to make them grow optimally.
Yeah, that could be. So what else to do in your garden? Stop fertilizing unless you really know that you have, say, an annual that will do a late season flush. Otherwise, there's really nothing to fertilize right now. You're just going to wash it away, and your plants are really not going to make use of it. In terms of your perennials, you don't want them to boost. You want them to actually say, all right, light is decreasing, temperatures are changing, it's time for us to go into our sleep zone of the winter and then be ready for next year. So a lot of fertilizer is not the thing right now.
Yeah, I think the only exception to that are I'm still giving kind of a slow boost to my leeks because those are still growing. Otherwise, yes, I pretty much stopped. I mean, I think the Brussels sprouts are doing fine. I suppose I could give them a little bit, but I think they don't really need any more at this point. But yeah, I totally agree that especially right now, it's like you put out fertilizer and really it's just going to drift away and you're going to try and you're basically don't want plants to keep growing outside. Greenhouse is a whole nother story. Maybe you're trying to keep things going in there. And so, you know, that weak fertilization is fine in there because we're still demanding a lot of those plants and they're in that small soil volume. But for outside plants, yeah, they're pretty much like, okay, dudes, time to start shutting down.
The other thing that comes in that's really fun is actually the start of the cycle for next year. You'll be planting your garlic pretty soon. You really can plant it just about any time your bed is ready. Some of us are, I'm still harvesting some garlic. Some are harvested and I'm monitoring what I'm trying to get right to that edge of big as it's going to get and not too late. But all garlic is pretty ready to be harvested anytime soon and then dried out, and you can replant that. And then the other fun part about bulbs, of course, are classic tulips and glads and, or not glads, tulips and hyacinths and daffodils and crocuses and all of those. So that's what's coming in commerce. And this is a different year. Here in Sitka, you may have a limited selection. We heard one of our nursery providers isn't doing bulbs this year. So there will probably be some available, but you also have plenty of time to order them if you want to order bulbs online. And the time to plant is really any time next month that you have things cleaned up. We'll do a show about planting, choosing and planting bulbs. We've already talked about that. And then the other thing sort of in preparation for some of that is that this isn't a bad time to look at some of your early blooming perennials and think about digging them up and splitting and moving them around. It feels a little invasive because your garden's still probably producing, your perennial garden's probably still producing a pretty nice set of foliage and whatever, and you're like, really, should I dig in there now? But there are a number of perennials that this isn't a bad time. And what comes to mind for me are the primroses. This is a great time to sort of uproot and split primroses.
Yep, they really need it. Again, I'd wait till the weather was slightly drier.
Well, yes, I just want you to be ready.
But I agree. With the timing, this is a good time to do that. And it gives them enough time to get reestablished after you divide them as well. One other thing I wanted to mention about the whole greenhouse thing was I think I mentioned that I started more broccoli and kale and spinach and lettuce even in July. and it's been going in the greenhouse, and I did not actually have the heart to put those poor little plants outside. So I just potted them up and then, you know, in bigger pots. And I, who knows, I may do a little experiment this year that I just keep all those in the greenhouse, because it's kind of soggy out and I don't know what kind of good start they'll get. If I can figure out how to make a good tent for them essentially outside, to keep the temperatures more, you know, broccoli sort of temperatures, I will do that. But man, I'm considering leaving some of them in the greenhouse and just seeing how that works. Because boy, it feels cruel to put these baby plants outside right now.
The other thing I think that's hard is when the weather's like this, the slugs are really encouraged, and those really fresh starts are just like magnets for slugs. It can be so disheartening to have a beautiful start you've nurtured in the greenhouse, put it out, and overnight those guys have mowed it down. So that's another danger for putting out fresh starts into the garden right now. I always hold on to a few of the kales in the greenhouse, and we don't need the greenhouse to grow kales. Kales grow great just in garden beds regularly, but with a couple in the greenhouse, then once the weather really turns, I know I can harvest them easily, and they come along well just living in the greenhouse all winter long.
Yeah, I'll probably use some of my bigger pots once the tomatoes are done and just have like a little garden patch in there, especially in particular actually for the lettuce. I really don't think the romaine lettuces are going to be super happy outside with this particular weather. Other years I'd be willing to try it, but it's just a little wet. So a little wet, air quotes there. So I think I will just, you know, kind of once the tomatoes are done, which are still going great guns, by the way, I will move on. So I was going to say golden nugget. I have been super happy with that tomato. Oh my gosh. So many tomatoes happening. You know, they're small, they're cherry tomatoes, but oh my goodness. They
nice.
Taste so good.
Yeah. Nothing like a ripe tomato and ripe on the vine. All right, well, 747-5877 is the number if you want to call in and ask a question or tell us what's going on in your garden or you found something that's working out really well. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I did want to mention, so Molly's also been a part of this. We have another opportunity for gardeners a couple of times a month that happens called the Garden Happy Hour. No, it's not down at the P bar. It's a Zoom meeting basically, made available through the cooperative extension, with specific programs, that are relative to Southeast. And if folks are interested in that, they can contact, Jasmine Shaw at the cooperative extension to find out more about that. Lots of your friends and neighbors talking about gardening. So there's a ton of more gardening to do this year. I know folks have been a little bit discouraged because of the weather this year, but I think there's still a lot of rewarding things happening out there in the garden. And if there's not for you, we can help, but we can help by maybe you calling us and telling us what maybe some of your concerns are. Sometimes it's merely a matter of which varieties you're using, you know, how big your raised beds are, and maybe actually providing a little bit of cover for your plants of some sort or another to get them going.
So it is time, and Kitty and I have talked about this, to start doing cleaning up. And cleaning up has such a wide range of things. But in your perennial bed, it can mean cutting back the spent blooms. Like I know the ones for me at the moment that I need to get out there and deal with are my monk's hood. They're starting to fall over, and they'll be great if I just cut them down, maybe not all the way to the ground, but take off all of those seed pods. I really don't need them.
Yeah, I've actually been, whenever, you know, there's a moment of sunniness or even just brightness, I've been out there deadheading. And deadheading just means cutting off those flowers. So, yeah, I try to keep that those plants trimmed, the monkshood in particular was one I was getting at. The other one was foxglove, and making sure I keep up with those. And then some of my poppies. And one thing, you know, you don't need the seeds from those plants necessarily. So you're trying to reduce that. But it also makes your garden look better. You know, sometimes you look out there and you're like, oh my gosh, what a mess. There's nothing I can do. And then you go out there and you trim, you do a little deadheading. And it's like, oh yeah, this looks good. I can deal. So I recommend that activity even more so than, you know, a little weeding as well. But deadheading can make a huge difference in the visuals for your garden.
And think about what you're going to do with that. If it's foxglove, you probably want to put that in your trash or in your burn, in your burn pile, not your compost, because you don't need that many seeds to be distributed back through your beds when you add compost. So think carefully about that. I'm always cautious. I'm glad you mentioned the foxglove, because I'm always cautious about those and looking around my yard this time of year and trying to get them out of sending a million seeds everywhere. They're great at reproducing their seeds.
Yeah, I actually, this time of year when I weed in the garden, a lot of what I'm weeding is just starting to go to seed. So quite a bit of what I weed and what I deadhead just goes straight to my burn pile. I just do not need any more seeds in my garden of a lot of these things. And foxglove, there's probably already enough seeds to last for the next, you know, I don't know, millennium's a little long, but
Let's go with half century. Let's go with half century.
Yes, I'll stick with that. So I am pretty darn careful about those things. My compost bins, they have a lot of material in them already, and they'll get more, you know, as I clean up the garden and collect seaweed. I'll also just put that directly in the compost pile. But the weed seeds, definitely do not need those. And foxglove is, it's a weed, but it's also kind of a desirable weed. So it's one that I just keep in control. I let it grow in some places and not in others.
So we've mentioned this before, but it's been a rough year for raspberries. Talked to a lot of people who've struggled with the molds and fungus and rust and whatever is happening on the raspberries. So this would be a great time if you're done picking. I have just a few last tasty ones still ripening up, but for the most part, they're really starting to look pretty ratty. And to gather up all those leaves and burn. Again, this is a burn or trash situation, really paying attention to that. And then once you're finished, be great to mulch that over with seaweed or something else that helps keep the bounce factor. Because in terms of rust on raspberries, it bounces from the ground with the rain up onto the new growth in the spring, and covering that over will help that as you emerge, you know, next spring. And if you wait and too late, you can't recover from the bounce of that. So you want to do that in the fall or the winter.
Yeah, sanitation is really your friend. I know we've talked about that quite a bit, because it helps with the issues, the sawflies with the currants. It helps with if you have raspberries that are susceptible to rust. And it helps with a bunch of other things as well. So I really encourage people to practice sanitation. And by that, I mean cleaning up all those old leaves. You know, you can use mulch of seaweed or something like that is much better. But clean up all those old leaves first and then put down the mulch.
So the garden beds are another thing. You know, you have a few things that are still producing, and you want to go there with them. But at some point, just cut your losses and really clean that all up and prepare that bed for the winter. It's a great time to find seafood waste to plant deep in your beds. Again, deep is intentional because of bears, dogs, that kind of thing. You really want to get that stuff down deep.
Yeah, what I try to do every fall is once I've got a bed cleaned up, is I will put some lime down, and then I'll put as much seaweed as I can gather to put on that bed. And then I walk away from it if that bed's done. I'm still leery about using fish waste out where I live, so I'm going to just stick with the seaweed.
And compost is always good, and a bit of lime, as Kitty said, great. Well, it's just about the end of the garden show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week, and we have lots of things that we want to still talk about. I mentioned perennials and bulbs. Also, send us a message and let us know what you're interested in talking about or hearing about on the garden show. We certainly enjoy rattling on about what's going on in our gardens.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. And we do, like Molly said, enjoy having your input and your questions as well. So thanks for joining us this morning.
You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. This has been The Garden Show. I'm Molly Kabler.
And I'm Kitty LaBounty.
KCAW Sitka.